We are in the month of June, and the Giants have played over 60 games to this point. And while they started off very hot, they've hit a really, really bad slump, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. So we're going to give a little state of the address of the Giants this far into the season here in 2025, what they can do to potentially get better, and some of the things they've done well, because they have done some good things early in this season, but we're going to focus on ways they can get better. And we're going to talk about the most recent roster shakeup, the first of any kind here in the Buster Posey era. So I'm your host, Darius Slott, and this is Second and King.
Welcome to Second and King.
It's a deep! It is high!
Shot deep right field by Crawford. Adios, pelota!
And now, here's your host, Darius Clark.
Yeah!
It has been a minute, you guys. What's going on? I am back, your boy Darius Slott. Took some time away from recording the pod and everything. Things got a little bit hectic. Kind of wanted to focus on some other things for the time being, but I got my mojo back. I'm feeling really good, and I've been keeping a really close eye on the Giants in that time. Don't think I haven't been paying attention to what's been going on. So, but I'm back. I'm glad that you're here with me. If you're still here with me, hopefully you are. And we're going to talk about the Giants, and I'm just going to get right into it. So as I am recording this episode of Second and King, the Giants, they've played 61 games to this point, and they got off to that really good start. At one point, they started the season 8-1. They were just lighting the world on fire. They were getting quite a bit of attention too for how well they were playing. But as the case in any, Major League Baseball season, you are going to run into your rough patches, and the Giants are in theirs right now, and ooh, it is a rough one. They currently sit 33-28 on the season after that really hot start, and I'm going to pull up here where they've been, actually. They've lost 14 of their last 23 games. So what happened exactly with this team? Like, why did they fall so fast? Well, when you look into some numbers, and I think the one that stands out the most is on the offensive side. The Giants' offense has been inconsistent, to say the least, throughout the course of the season. There have been times where it's looked pretty good, and there's been times it's looked downright awful, like almost to the point where you look at them, if you've ever watched these games, and I'm sure a lot of you have, you probably question yourself, have any of these guys ever played Major League Baseball? Because there are times where you question that, and I can't be the only one. I know there's been a few who probably watch these games and think, oh my god, this is a Major League Baseball team? Jeez. But yeah, they just haven't been as consistent overall as a unit on the offensive side of the ball. And at the time I'm recording this video, the Giants last night in their loss, their heartbreaking loss to the San Diego Padres, where they lost 3-2, they went 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position, 19 left on base. And then just, they scored, two runs off of an Elliot Ramos home run, his 11th of the year. And they didn't score again after that, and that's been a problem throughout. Not to mention, there are guys up and down this lineup who just struggle to find any kind of footing offensively. I briefly mentioned Patrick Bailey and his very, I can't even say inconsistency, because inconsistency would imply that you had some level of consistency to begin with. he hasn't had any, like, he has not gone on any kind of hot streak or anything. He has been well below average offensively this year, and that's something, even if he was just at league average or just slightly below, that would already make him more valuable, you know, given his defense. Like, his defense is where a majority of his value comes from, and he doesn't hit a lick. And so you're basically looking at him for his defense and not much else. And while there are catchers in the league that are defensive first, those guys are typically backup catchers. He's giving you the same level of production you would get from a backup catcher. And that's not good for the guy, you know, you put behind home plate every day. So, again, I really want him to really find a way to get going and contribute in some way to this team. And then there's Willie Adames. We didn't even talk about him. I think we may have, like, brushed by it, like, briefly. But he has been so bad to begin his Giants career. Like, it's concerning at this point how bad Willie has been, you know, in these 61 games. And I think he's gotten, like, a rest day or two here and there. But, yeah, he's been a pretty bad overall. And it's a little concerning when he's the guy. He was the big get for the Giants in free agency. You know, they signed him to that 7-year, $182 million deal. You know, he's averaging about $20 million per year. And so far in 61 games, you know, batting .203, .293 on base, .320 slugging, and a .613 OPS with a 77 OPS plus. Like, oh my, it's so bad. Like, it's so concerning. And I'm hoping he can turn it around at some point. But, man, it has not looked good on the Willie Adames front at all. And I'll talk a little bit more about his approach as well as other guys on the team. But I think overall, the Giants just, they just need a spark of some kind. And I think what they also need is guys to get going at the same time. That was another thing where it felt like one or two guys were hot, but then, like, the rest of the lineup was cold. Like, when the season started, it was Wilmer, Jung-Hoo Lee, you know, they were doing damage most of the time. And then it was, at one point, Jung-Hoo Lee and Matt Chapman. Then it was Wilmer, Flores, and, like, whoever. And then Wilmer, Flores, and Elliot Ramos, they started doing damage. And now it's just Elliot Ramos. Like, nobody has gotten, like, a good portion of guys, I should say, have not gotten hot at the same time. It's either, like, two, you know, they'd be lucky if they had three. You know, like, Elliot Ramos is scorching hot right now, but he's got no help around him with his supporting cast. It's been just dreadful all around for this Giants offense and what they've been doing this year. And the offense, as we look into the numbers as a team, the Giants ranked 22nd in all of Major League Baseball on offense. At one point, they were like 14, 15, but this recent stretch has dropped them all the way to the 22nd ranked offense in MLB. In the 61 games that they played, they're batting .231 as a team with a .309 on base, a .370 slugging, and a .679 OPS. And that just, that's not going to get it done. You know, they, and then the stretch, I forget what the streak is at. At one point, it was up to 14 games without scoring more than four runs. I think it's like now at what, 15, maybe even 16 straight games now without scoring more than four runs in a game. You know, they'd be lucky to get two. At one point on Monday, they couldn't even get one, and that was them trying to score a ghost runner to tie a game and keep a game going against the Padres. the Padres, who, mind you, in the top of the 10th inning in a scoreless game against the Giants at home, the Giants were at home in this game, decided to play for one run in the top of the 10th inning because they are so inept at scoring runs, especially one singular run. The Padres figured, as the road team, who typically like to get as many runs as you can to make, you know, the home team, you know, make the comeback for them a little bit more difficult, the Padres said, they are so trash, we can just play for one, and I guarantee you they won't score. And bold decision, and it paid off for them, Cotton. Because the Giants, in fact, did not score that run, that ghost runner in the bottom of the 10th, and they lost 1-0. And then you fast forward to Tuesday, they actually, you know, they score first, which they don't do very often. They score first, they go up 2-0, and I'll get to this in a minute because it's one of the few strengths of this Giants team. The pitching, you know, held up. Landon Roop had an outstanding outing. He went 6 1/3, scoreless, struck out 5 Padres. He was great. He was excellent. And then turned over to the bullpen a couple of moments here and there, but they held the fort down until we got to the 9th. Giants are up 2-0. Camilo Doval, he is back. He has retaken his position as the closer of the San Francisco Giants club. And he proceeds to have one of those meltdowns that he kind of infamously became famous for last season, where he had most of his struggles, where he ended up losing the closer role to Ryan Walker. And, you know, walks, just throwing an unhealthy amount of sliders, in my opinion, because you throw enough of those, they're gonna be ready for him. They see enough of him, they're gonna be ready if you throw him again. He just threw one after another to Manny Machado with the bases loaded. And while the one he did throw, the last one he threw to him was down, unfortunately, Manny Machado had seen them so much to that point, he was ready for them. And it's one of my gripes with Camilo in those situations is, with a guy who has a fastball as electric as his, I don't know why he insists on just being stubborn and just going slider. He can literally throw that fastball, and I think he can, you know, challenge these guys, and he can probably get a lot of swing and miss and maybe even get, you know, a ground ball. But he chooses not to. He, you know, just keeps attacking with his, you know, his slider, and he paid the price for it. But one of the few times in this stretch where the Giants pitching kind of slipped up at the end, especially the bullpen. The bullpen's been pretty much lights out all season. It's one of their strengths. And of course, they go on to lose that game 3-2 in extras to the Padres for the second straight night. But while we're on the topic of the pitching, you know, I mentioned when it was bad, you know, the one instance it was bad. Overall, it's the strength of this Giants team this year, because the pitching is, I'd argue, one of the reasons why the Giants managed to win as many games as they have so far on the back of this brilliant pitching that they're getting. You know, we got Logan Webb, you know, doing his thing. He's looking like a Cy Young candidate right now. Robbie Ray, he's fully healthy, and man, he's looking good. And he's been the Giants' good luck charm, because it seems like every time that he takes the mound, the Giants win. You know, he's having a resurgent year right now, and it's really been helpful to have that number two behind Logan Webb this season. Justin Verlander, while it has been up and down for him overall, he started to come around a bit before, you know, hitting the IL recently. I believe it was a pec strain, but he at points has had outings where he's looked solid, you know. Jordan Hicks, he was not very good out of in the rotation, And he honestly hasn't looked as, you know, good in the bullpen either as of right now. But that opened the door for a guy who I have been singing his praises, I think, since episode 2 of this podcast, when I was talking about young guys who I feel like can make an impact on this team. And so far, you know, his role in the bullpen, he was excellent. He was solid. And as soon as, you know, Buster Posey and the Giants Brain Trust had enough of the Jordan Hicks experiment, in comes Hayden Birdsong into, I believe, his proper role, a role that should have been his from the jump. You know, he more than did enough to earn a spot in the starting rotation, and now he's here. And it's been pretty, you know, small sample size. I think he's only made, what, 2-3 starts so far? But overall, he's been really good and a real sight to see this year in 2025. And I just have so much high hope for him going forward in the future, because I think he has a very, very good chance to be the ace of this staff in the future. He has that kind of stuff to me. You know, you couple that in with the arsenal of pitches he has and how he commands them all fairly well. Still very young, he'll get a wild hair up his nose, as Krook would say, and walk some guys. But overall, I like what I've seen from him. We've also seen the return of Kyle Harrison. He's back in the big leagues, and he's made some starts this year too, and he's looked pretty good himself. You know, he's filling in for Verlander, who landed on the IL. But again, he went down to Sacramento, which I think is a good thing for him. He worked on some things. His fastball velocity is back to like the high 90s, like 95 to like 96, even gets 97 up there, you know. And that was something that was worrisome last year. His fastball velocity was down dramatically. He was throwing like 91, 92. I think he a few times was able to get it to 93, but he was struggling with that. But his arm looks healthy. He's improved the shape of his breaking ball, his slider curve deal. And, you know, it's getting, it's still not, you know, perfect, but it's getting there to the point where he can use it, you know, effectively to get hitters out and not have to always rely on his fastball. But yeah, overall, I think he's been excellent. I can't say enough about the pitching on the starting side of things. And of course, the bullpen's been very, very solid as well. You know, I mentioned how Birdsong was in there. He was holding things down. Outside of last night's blip, Camilo Duvall's been excellent. In 2025, he looks like he's rebounding very well. Tyler Rogers continues to be one of the best relievers in baseball, quietly, because I feel like when you look at other guys in our bullpen, he's not the guy you focus on the most, but he's the one who typically is used the most frequently, and he's the one that typically comes up with big outs late in games. So Ryan Walker might be the lone exception. Hoping he eventually turns it around. His FIP is 2.75, so it suggests that he's a little bit better than what his ERA, which is 4.50, is at. You know, so it suggests he's a little bit better than what he has shown. He just had a really tough time with command and, you know, mechanics, but hopefully as time goes on, he will kind of round back into form and be, you know, the Ryan Walker that we saw last season. Eric Miller, you know, he's been solid as well. Another sub 2 ERA coming out of the pen. Spencer Bivens has been pretty solid as well. Tristan Beck is back. You know, he's only made a few appearances. He's only appeared, I think, in 3 games. But he looks good. He looks healthy. It's nice to have him back. He was somebody I figured might be in the bullpen anyway at some point, especially in that long relief role. But, you know, he's here now, and I look forward to seeing more of what he can do. And Randy Rodriguez, I saved him for last in terms of pitchers I wanted to talk about, because Randy's been excellent. He's appeared in 25 games, and he has a sub-1 ERA, a 0.68 ERA with a 1.16 FIP. Like, he has been nasty this year, and he has 38 strikeouts to only 3 walks. And I'm pretty sure he didn't walk anybody until our first series against the Padres. Like, oh, what was that, a month ago? Like, he doesn't issue many free passes. And as a young player, he's only 25, he's been thrown into the fire numerous times. Like, he has been brought in with runners on, and the team is threatening to score, and the Giants need a, you know, a strikeout, and he's always the one to get that. So it really shows poise on his part for how young he is. He was somebody who I believe there was worry and concern about his command, but doesn't seem to be an issue so far in 2025, and I'm hoping to see a lot more of that going forward. Hell, if he keeps pitching this well, you might have to consider him for the closer role, honestly. That's how good Randy's been. But the pitching overall, excellent. It's the thing that I think can help the Giants stabilize, you know, even in this awful stretch that they're in. Their pitching is ranked 9th in all of baseball with a team ERA of 3.03. Like, and they're holding opposing hitters to a 231 batting average. So, yeah, that's good. That's the good news. But, yeah, if the Giants could even muster just to be like a middle of the pack offensive team, I think they have a better shot. But they were rolling out some guys who just weren't producing, you know. Mike Yastrzemski, he started off pretty hot. He's since cooled down. He went on that tear early, and he's been kind of like non-existent so far. Luis Matos, somebody who I don't think has been given a fair shake of things, he comes up, you know, he makes the opening day roster, and he gets maybe a few starts here and there. He's appeared in 24 games so far this season, and he barely got to play. And there were times where I thought he was on the verge of breaking out. Like in that game against the Cubs, it was the second game of that Cubs series when they were on that road trip. And he hit, you know, that home run that essentially, you know, helped them win that game. You know, and it looked like he was looking good. I believe he had 2 or 3 hits in that game, and he looked like he was on the verge of something. And then they just sat him down. They just sat him down, and he didn't appear, you know, in a game for another, like, what, 4 or 5 days? And he was cool off again. So it felt like anytime he was getting something going, they just wouldn't, you know, let him continue to go out there and figure things out. And I think that was a waste. And he was recently, you know, reassigned to AAA. They sent him down to Sacramento after. Not only did they send him back to Sacramento, they sent him back after he hit a game-winning home run against the Marlins that helped us capture a series on the road. And his reward for that was, you get a one-way ticket back to Sacramento. I don't understand it. I can't, you know, put it into words, but I didn't like that move at all. I haven't been a fan of Bob Melvin's overall managerial style. You know, I wasn't a fan of it in 2024, and I'm not a fan now here in 2025. He's not exactly like my cup of tea as a manager. And there are times where I think his boneheaded decisions, whether it be how he, you know, uses a bullpen or how he continues to fill up the lineup card and who gets in and what, you know, it's just, it's frustrating at times. And I guess I'll just touch on this a little bit since I'm kind of on the subject of the staff already. I want to know who to blame for what the hell is happening to the Giants offense, because while the offense, you know, you look at the lineup and you're like, eh, I mean, what'd you expect? I mean, this isn't a great lineup you guys are throwing out here. And I won't hold you. It's probably not, you know, the greatest lineup you'll ever see. In fact, it isn't the greatest lineup you'll ever see. But I have trouble thinking that these guys are this bad, because there are some guys in that I look at this lineup and I'm just like, there's no way you're just this, you know, inept offensively. And then I, you know, whenever I watch the games, I notice like certain things, and I'm watching like a Jung-Hoo Lee at bat, and I'm seeing him try to lift and launch a ball in the air, like he's trying to like lift it with each swing. And if you go back to how he began the year, he was hitting line drives, he was hitting the ball in the gaps, you know, hitting the ball down the lines, he was gap to gap, and you know, he was staying inside the ball a lot better. But now, I don't know, for some reason his approach, it's seemingly just changed overnight, because now he's just trying to lift the ball in the air. And then I see Willy Adames, the amount of pop-ups I see him hit that barely leave the infield. Matt Chapman has done it as well. And I'm just like, I'm wondering, what's with the approach here? And then there are times where they don't swing the bat, or they take a perfect pitch, you know, one of the best pitches they'll see all at bat, and then they'll swing at absolute garbage the next one. So there has to be some kind of correlation to how they're approaching their at bats, you know, in response to what results that they're getting, because I have a hard time thinking they're just that bad. But their at bats have been that bad, and their approach is that bad. And I think we have to have a discussion when it comes to our hitting coaches, especially Pat Burrell. You know, he was brought in to kind of help improve the offense after Justin Vealy had left. But, you know, it hasn't gotten any better. It feels like he's still around, because these at-bats are feeling similar to the 2024 season. This offensive output is feeling somewhat similar to the 2024. You know, I mean, hey, our last good season of any kind of offensive success was 2021 with Donnie Ecker. And he's available. You know, he just got canned by the Rangers. So, hey, maybe we give him a call next, because I don't know what is going on here with the team on the offensive side. Have they been bad? Absolutely. But I just look at what the approach is, how they're, you know, taking their at-bats, and I would like to see a change there as well. So whether they make that change this year, or you know, or after this year, that remains to be seen. But they have made some changes so far, and it's a pretty big one. It was one that I think a lot of fans were kind of thinking, it's time. Like, we are over this. It is time to shake this roster up. We are 60 games in, a little over 60 games in. It is time to fix this. And it was taking so long that I really think that it was a point where I thought, oh, it may not happen. they may just stand pat, you know, or just let it be what it is, you know. And when it's one thing if you try to shake up the roster and it doesn't work, but to not even try, I think, is the worst sin of all. And I commend Buster Posey, Zach Manassian in the front office for actually, you know, making some moves here, that things that broke this morning. So the Giants finally have their first shakeup in the Buster Posey era of San Francisco Giants baseball. They have been in an offensive drought, so they're going to try to improve it. So they shook up the roster, and Sam Huff and Lamont Wade Jr. were DFA'd. You know, they were designated for assignment. Huff was brought in. They got him from the Rangers in the offseason to back up Bailey. And, you know, they were hoping for a little bit more from him, but overall kind of so-so defense and power, but not a lot of contact. That was kind of, you know, his issue. So they're deciding to cut ties with him. And, you know, Lamont Wade Jr., I mean, what more do I have to say when it comes to him? It was a long time coming after the dreadful performance he put on this year. And I know there was a time where Lamont put up some good numbers, you know, in 2021. You know, of course, we'll always have that. You know, he was a big part of that 107-win Giants team. Dealt with injuries a lot in his later years to the point where he couldn't even play outfield like he used to, you know. He got on base a ton. He did some good things for the Giants when he was here, but not a lot, you know, in 2025, unfortunately. He has a negative WAR. He batted 167, 275 on base, 271 slugging, and a 546 OPS with a 59 OPS plus. Like, when you think below average, this is way, 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 way below average. Like, it was that bad. Like, you hear those numbers and you immediately think, yeah, I can understand why he lost his job. You know, and I'm not saying I'm happy that, you know, he got DFA'd. You know, it is a bit sad because he was a big part of the Giants in, you know, that 2021 season. And he looked like he could be one of those guys that helped, you know, propel the Giants into winning some ball games, but unfortunately that didn't come to pass. Injuries and just, you know, I think we kind of saw the ceiling of Lamont in 2021, and we never really got there again. So the late night Lamont era in San Francisco is over, unfortunately. So with him and Huff being DFA'd, Christian Koss, who made the team at a spring training as a non-roster invitee, he was sent back. Not sent back because he never was there to start, but he was sent to Sacramento. And in these players' place, catcher Andrew Kisner will take Sam Huff's spot as the backup catcher behind Patrick Bailey. Outfielder Daniel Johnson, don't know a lot about him. They say he has a very quick bat, and he has quite a special, you know, hitting tool. Kisner, you know, he's kind of got a similar profile to Huff, except he makes more contact, so that might not be such a bad thing given the Giants' propensity to, you know, not make contact or strike out in certain situations. Johnson, I'm kind of intrigued by. You know, he's 29 years old, and he was doing really well in Sacramento. Batted 272, 312 on base, 534 slugging, and an 846 OPS. He also played independent ball, batting over 400 in the Mexican League. So we'll see. They say he might have a pretty nice hit tool, so we'll see how that goes. Maybe at some point we see Luis Matos get called back up to the majors. We'll just have to wait and see. But he is a lefty too, Johnson, so that also helps. Giants are pretty right-handed heavy hitting. It's kind of one of the reasons why they kept Wade around as long as they did, in the hopes that he'd figure it out, and unfortunately for them, he never did. But the other spot was taken by the newly acquired Dominic Smith. Long time, you know, kind of journeyman player, plays first base and outfield. Kind of a similar, I guess you could say, a little similar profile to Wade. Plays first base, corner outfield, bats left-handed. He's old. I think he's older than Wade because Dom is what, 30? Actually, he's so Wade is 31 and Dominic Smith is 30. So he's actually younger than Lamont Wade Jr. But yeah, he signed a deal. I believe it was a minor league deal with the New York Yankees. And he was in Scranton in the AAA team for the New York Yankees, where he batted 255, 333 on base, 448 slugging, and a 782 OPS. So he, you know, he's been hitting a little bit. He also clubbed 8 home runs in that time. So a little bit of, you know, power being shown there, something that the Giants could definitely use. And I feel like even if Dom Smith doesn't play like well, like I'm not even expecting him to bat like 280 or 270 with like, you know, 18 home runs and a 7, you know, I don't expect the 782 OPS at the big league level. If he is just okay, if he is just league average, hell, he could be just slightly below league average, that still is an upgrade and an improvement over what they were getting at first base when Wade was there. So kind of tells you all you need to know, like how low the bar was set with Lamont Wade Jr. Playing first base and all his recent struggles. So yeah, that is where the Giants are at right now. Excellent pitching, just abysmal hitting. And some questionable staff and moves from the staff. So we're going to have to wait and see if the Giants can kind of get the ball rolling again. They're not they're still very much in contention for both the division as well as the wild card. So there's still a chance there. But, you know, it's time to right the ship. And they're going to have a really good month of June. They've notoriously struggled in the month of June, especially in my lifetime. I feel like there are other fans who felt that way too. So like the June swoon is real if you're a Giants fan. It's a real thing. So hopefully they can have a strong month of June, and you know, July rolls around. That's the trade deadline. That's the chance to make yourself, you know, a contender and make yourself better. But I think I've rambled enough here. I got a lot of stuff out, which was pretty therapeutic, because I've been wearing the frustration pretty heavy. But that's gonna do it for this edition of Second and King. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you want to follow the pod on social media, we are on Twitter, refuse to call it X. Also have an Instagram, as well as Blue Sky. Check me out there if you know, want to interact with me. If you're on YouTube, like the video, and if you haven't already, please subscribe. You know, I'm trying to get back to doing at least weekly episodes of the pod now. Now that I'm kind of feeling, you know, I'm feeling 100%, you know, locked into the Giants and want to talk more Giants with you guys, and you know, leave some comments and stuff. I'm thinking about setting up maybe some kind of Q&A, like folder or something, and maybe doing Q&A episodes, you know, every, you know, month or so with you guys, because I love to interact and talk Giants all day. But yep, that's going to do it for me here on this edition of Second and King. I am your host, Darius Lott, and as always, go Giants.